We just be rocking like Lenny. Rockin'. This shit on fire like Kenny. We keep on sipping this Henny. Drink. Throwing this shit, I got plenty. I ran out the bank like I stole it. Stole that. Hop in the boat and I row it. Row. Pass me the Rillo, I roll it. Roll that. Bring that ass back and I tow it. We just be rocking like Lenny. Rockin'. This shit on fire like Kenny. We keep on sipping this Henny. Drink. Throwing this shit, I got plenty. I ran out the bank like I stole it. Stole that. Hop in the boat and I row it. Row.
All right, big shout out to PermaVibe for the intro music of episode 9. PermaVibe, you guys are fire. Keep up the good work. That song was Rockin' Like Lenny, so go over there and check out PermaVibe. All right, happy December, Sean. It's that time of the year again, you know. Snow's starting to fall, winter season's going. But if you're bummed about the weather, you have this podcast to listen to. So let's gear up for the winter seasons here. What's going on, Sean?
The Patriots won, and I'm already getting the wrong Christmas present in the mail, so Merry Christmas.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in just, let's roll into that right now. Sean, I said, hey, it's going on when we joined the call, and, you know, it wasn't, oh, Evan, yeah, what's going on, man? Like usual, it was, oh, boy, I already got the wrong gifts, and now my headphones broke. So I wanted to tell the people here what the hell just happened.
Well, it's a very positive start to the podcast. You know, I run downstairs like a little kid when I hear I got presents at the door. Not even for me, really, but I open it up. Thinking it's this cool present that I bought somebody, and it's an eyebrow drawing kit from like China.
Which is a pretty cool present if that's what you're into.
If I already didn't have perfect eyebrows, this would be a great day for me. So
I'm still not fully convinced that you didn't buy that. And then you just saw that you bought that, and now there's a little bit of a, you know, backtreading going on from you.
Yeah, since I was exposed, I have to kind of ride with
oh,
it.
Oh no, that's not mine. Yeah, okay. It says your name, your address, and it's from Amazon. Okay, pal. Whatever you say.
Value customer, five-time buyer.
Yeah, this is coming from the guy that also said that you were in the dark web talking to some old man once in, like, episode 2. So, I don't know.
Larry Bird's sister.
Yeah, how about Larry Bird's sister? So, you know, you might not be the most credible person, at least when we hit the record button in terms of some of these dark web things. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see if the people believe you, but I'm firmly believing that you bought that eye drawer or whatever it is. So... It's a good start to the podcast. See, we told you we'd cheer you up in this winter weather. But like we always do, we go high and now we're going to go even lower. We got to address it. The Kareem Hunt incident. Sean, I mean, obviously everyone's seen it by now or a couple days afterwards. Kareem Hunt on video gets physical with a 19-year-old, or I think she was 19-year-old girl. What do you think of this, Sean? Not necessarily the incident, but just kind of the process. We were talking about a pre-show and just... The NFL doesn't seem to do any sort of due diligence during this whole process. What do you think of it?
It's frustrating because when Tom Brady apparently, I'll never admit that he did or not, deflated a football, it was like he had murdered somebody that demanded his cell phone. They demanded everything. They needed to talk to him 1,000 times. But you have a case of domestic violence and like, oh, no, don't worry about it. We don't need to talk to you. Just go try to win the Super Bowl with the Chiefs.
Yep.
Like, what the hell is that?
It's a little weird. It's weird to me that they would even let it come out that they never talked to him, because the NFL has wraps on like everything. I'm surprised that was so quick to be like, yeah, the NFL never even talked to Kareem. It's kind of wild because the Chiefs talked to him and he lied to them. And then it's like, well, did the NFL talk to the Chiefs? But even if they talked to the Chiefs and got the same story, why wouldn't you go to the one person that apparently did the act? It's a little weird. Like, were they not? Did they not? It just pisses me off when TMZ gets money, gets a hold of videos before the NFL does. And I get that TMZ is paying these people to release the videos, but what do you think? Let me ask you this, Sean. What do you think of the NFL if they were to implement some sort of thing like TMZ, where they pay to get dirt on people like that? Is that moral or is it not? You know, it's kind of weird when it's the NFL doing it. But what do you think of the NFL now having someone to, you know, pay money to go find these type of things so we get ahead of the curve?
I think it's well worth it. They need to get out in front of these things instead of having TMZ expose all of these people. And yes, they deserve to be exposed, but it should be from their employer or even behind closed doors where they're suspended. We don't necessarily have to see the videos. Yes, they should be exposed for what they did, but the NFL needs to get ahead of this. Not TMZ. I don't get how TMZ is in front of everything.
Everything.
And they told the Chiefs to kind of like let it go, be quiet.
Yeah.
And I respect the Chiefs for not rolling over, and they got rid of one of their best offensive players in one of the best seasons in their franchise's history.
I will say, Sean, you said that you respect the Chiefs. There's one part of their statement that I didn't like, and it was pretty much like, now I'm not quoting it, but they were like, yeah, well, we're releasing Kareem because he wasn't truthful to us in his statements. It's like, okay, or you could have said, we're releasing Kareem because he beat the shit out of a girl and kicked her.
Like, yeah, that definitely was
a little weird. Like, they just reading it in text, it was kind of like, oh, we're releasing him because he lied. Like, no, I think you got that wrong. But yeah, they did do the right thing. I do respect that. I respect it because, like you said, he's so good. You know what I mean? It's not just like, oh, this guy's a punk, we're releasing him. No, we just released a guy that we drafted a couple years ago. It was a stud last year, an absolute stud this year. Good for the Chiefs. They still put up 40 points yesterday, so I don't know how much of a drawback it'll be, but I think that'll come back to bite them. We'll get into that with a fan question that we have in a little bit. But Sean, back to what you said about how TMZ gets it first. It's like, TMZ is doing it for the wrong reasons. You know what I mean? TMZ doesn't give a shit that Kareem Hunt did that. They're doing it for the payday. They're doing it to get that money and to be that first. You know what I mean? When you break the news, to be the first to do it. They don't really care. But the NFL...
There's one company I would never want to work for.
Yeah, you kind of lose your moral judgment there because, you know, sure, they're doing a good thing. They're doing a good thing by broadcasting that, but that's not what they're doing it for. And the NFL should step in. I just think it's wild that it's just happened multiple times that the NFL is, like, in the dark about this shit. You know? Like, how do you not know? How do you not know if you heard about it or anything? Why don't you? It's all, oh, we got to defend the shield, defend the shield. Well, start defending the fucking shield. You know what I mean?
You know, Roger Goodell sees the Chiefs as a potential threat to the Patriots. You know what? He doesn't want to interrupt their momentum. He wants them to beat the Patriots, so he's just going to try to sweep this under the carpet.
It really is. It's like he's got it ass backwards. He thinks, okay, if we don't talk about it, it won't get negative publicity, and now we're defending the shield. That's bullshit, man. It's not. And you know, it fires me up because defending the shield doesn't mean keeping things quiet. Defending the shield means getting ahead of things and, you know, making the league a respectable league. And so that's my take on the whole thing, you know. It's just crazy that they're always like the ones, oh, we didn't know about this. Come on, give me a break.
And I'll never understand how a guy in Hunt's position has become so far in his life, one of the best running backs in football, and he can't. I know what the girl supposedly said was wrong, but you got to walk away. You have way too much to lose, and for you to lose your head like that and it's just awful.
It's a really good point. Be smart. Because what was so bad about this wasn't a Ray Rice where he clocks her and drags her. No, this is one where he pushes her. And you know what? I hate to say this, but say he pushes her and then it gets broken up and it walks away. This isn't as big of a deal. No, he shouldn't lay his hands on her in the first place. But that could be viewed as self-defense. Who knows? But the fact that he pushes her, then he gets his buddies break him up, and then he pushes her again, and then he pushes her, and he keeps going after her. It's like, dude, there were so many times that you could have just stopped and just taken a breather and gone back to your hotel room. You know what I mean? It's like there's just so many times where you could have – there were so many times where he could have just returned to, okay, this isn't a good choice. This isn't a good choice. And he just kept going with it. That's what I felt was wrong about it. So you bring up the thing about, you know – I bring it up that there's just so many opportunities for him to stop, and he just didn't. It wasn't one incident. This is a minute and a half of him bull rushing her.
And that's why you can't really give him any really second chances, at least right off the bat. He had plenty of chances, like you said, and he made a horrible decision. And obviously his friends were afraid to stop him. Yeah. They had a half-assed effort. They could have dragged him down the hallway and get him out of there, but they didn't. So.
I don't know. There's sometimes three linebackers try to take that guy down, and they can't, so...
So
we can get into one of our fan questions. This one's coming in from All Sports League at All Sports League. Is there any AFC team that you're worried about now, being that Hunt is gone? Pittsburgh is collapsing. Houston or LA, do they worry you at all? Sean, I'll ask you. Let's start with, because we're talking about Hunt, let's talk about the Chiefs, and then we'll go to the other three. So do the Chiefs worry you, or did they worry you?
I mean, the Chiefs are always going to worry me, but the way our defense looked yesterday, very encouraging. We'll get more to that later. Mm-hmm. But Andy Reid's always going to Andy Reid. And we took care of them. We handled them pretty well during the regular season.
Yep.
And I think this Hunt thing is going to derail them a little bit. And at the end of the day, it's the New England Patriots. So I'm not entirely worried if it comes down to a Patriots-Chiefs rematch in the playoffs. I think we're going to fare pretty well against them.
I agree. If it's in Gillette, I do think that I'm a little bit worried about the Patriots playing away at Arrowhead Stadium. But that's besides the point, because I do think that losing Kareem Hunt certainly takes them down a peg. You're not always going to be able to throw the ball and have Patrick Mahomes pass for a billion touchdowns in a game. It's when it starts getting colder, that's not going to fly. You're going to need a ground and pound. And guess what? Spencer Ware is not providing that. Damian Williams isn't providing that. They're signing back Sharkhandrick West. That's not providing what Kareem Hunt can do. That's the fact, you know. So I do think that this takes the Chiefs down a peg. You said the Patriots did. I think back in October they was it like week 7 maybe? I don't remember. But the Patriots played the Chiefs and they beat them 43-40. High scoring game, and I think the Patriots will have to do just that again. But I don't see the Chiefs scoring more than 40 points. So that's good. I think the Patriots can score 40 plus. I don't see the Chiefs scoring more than 40 now. So
you always trust the Patriots in a shootout.
Yeah, it's and you know what the thing is too, that they can manage a shootout too. Like what do we talk about when we said how the Chiefs were scoring so fast when the Patriots played? Do you remember what we said?
Mahomes basically beat himself by scoring too fast and giving Brady more time.
Right, and it sounds so funny, but it's the truth. Tom Brady doesn't do that. Tom Brady recognizes a shootout and is able to manage it. He's a game manager. So I do think the Patriots fare well against the Chiefs. I do, just to answer All Sports League's question, I would say the Chiefs still are probably my biggest concern because they have the what is it, 10-1 now? No, what is their record? They have their record and they're sitting atop the conference. Their record is 10-2. So they still have their first place record, and that's like I started this whole little all over the place rant, is that the first place matters to me. The Patriots are going to get a bye, I think, but the Chiefs having that AFC championship game in their back pocket, I think they're going to have to lose another game, but they have to play Seattle still. They have to play a couple other teams, the Chargers. So yeah, just long-winded there, but I do think that I'm still a little bit worried about him. Not to use the word worried incorrectly, but I think that Hunt takes him down a big peg. What about Pittsburgh? Because they're just showing that they're just gackers. You know, they lost last week. Now they lost to the they lost to the Chargers on Thursday or Sunday Night Football. Do you think the Steelers are at all a threat?
Last night, with the way that game ended, that is the most undisciplined team I have ever seen. Mm-hmm. 3 consecutive offsides in a row. It's like in Madden when you take the offsides off and you're just waiting there in front of the quarterback or the kicker. Like, and Mike Tomlin can't lead a team. He's just like Andy Reid. That team does not scare me in the playoffs.
Yep.
Ben Roethlisberger is throwing his teammates under the bus because he feels that he deserves to do that. Tom Brady takes care of that in the field, not in the press. I'm not afraid of Pittsburgh. At this point, they're going to beat themselves. There is one team I'm afraid of, but we'll get to that right after Pittsburgh.
We'll get to that. I'll just say the past 2 weeks for the Steelers they've just been terrible. Mismanaged at the end. Big Ben kind of drops the ball, not literally, but throws the pick at the end. They're always going to shoot itself in the foot, just like Jesse James in that catch no catch thing last year. Who's that team that you're worried about?
It's that Houston Texans.
Yep, I agree.
Texans, 9 wins in a row.
Before you get to the Texans, I'll just say about the Chargers, I never buy into the Chargers because the minute it's going to get cold, if they have to play in a cold weather situation, see you later. If you think it was cold last night in Pittsburgh, you're wrong. Wait 2 months. You'll see how cold it gets, L.A. Let's get into Houston. That team, you know what? Maybe they have some issues, Sean. They didn't start too well, but in all of sports, the hot team can make a dive to the playoffs. And that's what Houston is. Houston is the hot team.
And some people might think that they made their hot run too soon with winning the 9 in a row. You have a few more weeks left in the regular season. And, you know, last year they gave us a pretty good battle in the playoffs to the point at halftime. I was starting to question if we were going to win that game.
Mm.
I was nervous. And you got a healthy Deshaun Watson this year.
Yeah.
He now has Demaryius Thomas. He has Hopkins. Lamar Miller looks as good as he did since he was in Miami. It's looking like a complete team on offense.
And obviously you have defensive playmakers too.
Very
yeah.
good.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, they're on a 9-game win streak. And guess what? They're 5-1 at home. And they're playing. It's like you just said, you said that, you know, they not you saying it, but you said people are saying they started too hot too soon. Maybe there's no such thing as that, because guess what? People said the Chiefs started too hot, and guess what? They're still hot after 12 weeks. So I wouldn't necessarily just rely on the fact that the Texans are, they're going to cool off. No, they're a good team, and their offense is looking really good. Billy O is looking pretty good. Bill O'Brien there. Shout out to Andover, Mass. So I just...
Former Patriots coaches, that's what scares me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. See? There's something to be said for the Texans. So, yeah, answering your question here on Twitter, is there any AFC team that you'd worry about? And I think it's Houston and the Chiefs. I'm not discounting the Chiefs, you know what I mean? I'm not saying because Hunt's out that they suck now. They still put up 40 points last week. It wasn't the same 40, though, you know? It was kind of weird. A lot of penalties on the Raiders, too. But I'd say that it goes Chiefs still for me, and then Texans, and then I'm not even thinking about anyone else. I'm really not. I don't think the Steelers are that good. I think this is one of the better Steelers teams we've seen, but I don't think they're going to be that good. And the Chargers, I think that the cold weather is going to get them like it always does. They're literally infamous for that. You think something's changed? No. If there's smoke, there is fire.
Another thing with the Texans, they say they're playing for their owner who just died. I'm pretty sure they hated Bob McNair, so yeah. I'm not going to really go into that.
No, but it is, hey, it goes without saying. Sometimes you can rally around things. The Red Sox did it with Boston Strong. Look what happened with the Astros a couple years ago. I mean, 2 years ago. Not this year. Sox took them down. Shout out Red Sox. And, you know, who knows? Who knows if teams rally around things like that? But, Sean, let's get into our second fan question, all right? This is coming in from Justin from the Cheap Seat Pod. Follow them at Cheap Seat Pod on Twitter. They are a Guy Boston Sports podcast, exclusively Patriots, and they're a bunch of fun guys. This one's coming in from Justin. He runs a Twitter account, and he said, first his question was, how long before Brady gets to 2,000 yards rushing?
He'll probably be about 75 years old, still playing.
All right, about 20 years, Justin.
He'll be rushing in a wheelchair.
No, you know what? Let's say Brady's going to... I'm going to say he's going to race for those 2,000, and he'll be there in 10 years.
So Brady's going to turn into Michael Vick overnight, and he's going to go all for it. No more throwing.
Yeah, next season. But he goes, all right, and for a serious question, what's your biggest surprise to this point of the season for the Pats? Sean, why don't you hit us with that?
I'm going to say the trade for Josh Gordon and how impactful he has been the Patriots. We've seen over the years these older wide receivers come in, not that he's the oldest guy in the world, but somewhat veteran receivers come to the Patriots and they can't figure it out, and then all of a sudden they're retired living down in Florida. Josh Gordon has come in and made a huge impact, and he's only going to get better as he gets healthier and more comfortable with the offense.
Yep, he's got such like big play potential. What were people saying last night? Where's Josh Gordon? Where is he? What's he doing? Is he even out there? Did he even start today? And then what happens?
He strikes 24 yards back-to-back possessions.
Boom. It's like this is that's that type of guy. He is so much different than those guys. And we talked about this in one of our episodes, Sean, but he's so much different than some of these guys in the past that kind of come here and don't get it. One, because he is younger. I know you kind of just stumbled there too, because it seems like it's that situation again. Oh, we're bringing a guy that's past his prime. No, this guy is what, 26 years old, but he has the football games played of like a 24-year-old, so... So he's in good shape for that. But I think that that's a great call for the surprise. One of my biggest surprises will be, let's see. I guess I'm going to say, was he saying a good surprise? Do we know? Or can I say what my biggest, like?
I would say either way.
Yeah, I'm going to say Gronk. I'm going to say that it kind of sucks because Gronk has had people might not like this, but he's had a relatively healthy season. No major injuries. He's missed a couple games, but like Gronk's had a season where he should be playing a little bit better, and he's just not. He's just not doing that. And he was so out of tune last night. He was getting like false start penalties, holding penalties. It's like, who's this guy wearing number 87? Is this just some big guy? You know, like what's going on? I mean, if Chris Gronkowski's listening to this, he follows us. If he's listening, hey, let's whip your brother into shape, man, because we all want it. You know, he wants it, you want it, everyone wants it. Patriots Nation, we need to see Gronk just being Gronk out there.
We don't want him to retire, because people are now even saying even more, like, you know what, injuries again, even if he's playing, he looks out of it, he's going to retire, he's going to go become a wrestler. I don't want that to happen.
No, we don't. We Gronk's crucial to this. Even though he's been kind of playing bad, he's still a big threat out there, so defenses have to pay attention to him. At the very least, he draws double coverage. It's like he's still doing his job out there, so stay healthy, keep playing, man, but... This isn't the season. This isn't a season to remember for him. I could see retirement coming fairly soon, if not at the end of this year.
we better win a Super Bowl, because I'll accept it. I mean, I'll still be depressed, but if we win the Super Bowl this year and he walks off, I can accept that.
Yeah.
Until a training camp the following year.
Right. It's riding off into the sunset. So I think that that's okay. But yeah, so that's kind of my biggest surprise, I guess. I wouldn't necessarily say that's a surprise, more of a disappointment. If I were to have to say a surprise, I don't know. One thing this isn't a surprise, but this is actually something I wanted to talk about. I don't know if it's just me, or do you think that Sony Michel, like, sometimes looks really good and sometimes it's just like he's just running and gets tackled? Is that just me? He looks so explosive sometimes, and all of a sudden he'll just like look terrible. Like, I don't think he played that well last night.
He's definitely up and down, and honestly, during the game, I'm so confused for a second because I can't tell if it's James White or Sony Michel until I see the 8 or the 6 or 26 or 28.
Yeah.
So I'm always kind of confused. But Sony Michel looks like the potential to be one of the best running backs in the league, or at least one of the best running backs on the Patriots in a long time. So I hope he can kind of be more consistent in each week, because right now we're leaning towards back to White and Burkhead.
Yeah, I think he's got to just, like, he's got to string a couple things together. Shout out, you mentioned James White. Shout out to James White for liking our tweet yesterday, or the day before. Good guy. Clearly a big friend of the program now. Sean, we got a few minutes left. Why don't I guess, more than you, get into a little Celtics talk? Unless you want to contribute, you know?
I'll chime in when I find necessary.
All right. I'll talk about one thing, and I'll ramble about this. This is coming in from Michaela at Title City Boston. Thoughts on if the Celtics should keep Smart in the starting lineup once Jaylen Brown returns. Now, if you haven't been watching my live streams, either post games or just my live with Evs, Sean, how good are those? That's pretty good. I'm proud that I'm doing those now.
You know, I think I'm like tuned in to ESPN, then I realize it's Evan Singleton from Guy Boston Sports.
Oh yeah, so official. Actually, it took so long to get that stream set up, but anyways, not enough patting myself on the back. I talked about this the other day, and a viewer named Adnan shouted out, and he was like, you know, this Celtics team doesn't win the championship without Jaylen Brown at the starting two. And so what I was saying when he brought that up was that Marcus Smart earned this spot. It's his spot to lose. He'll be the starter. He is the starting two guard. And then when Adnan said that, I think it was as Adnan_9 at Twitter, I was like, you know what? He's right. Ideally for the Celtics, Jaylen Brown is the starter. You know what I mean? Like, that is their ultimate goal. That's the best Celtics are with Jaylen Brown at his best at the two. And Marcus Smart being that absolute energy guy. The only reason Marcus Smart is starting is because Jaylen Brown has been absolutely sucking, you know? So, like, it's a funny situation. So I'll answer Michaela's question. I do think Marcus Smart will continue to start, but I still don't. Now, I've been pretty cold on Jaylen Brown this entire year. Sean, you know that, and all my followers know that. But at the same time, it's like I recognize that he, in theory, is a better basketball player than Marcus Smart. Jaylen Brown just hasn't been doing it well lately, you know? So, like, Marcus Smart will be the starter, but we've seen Marcus Smart go cold, too, in the past. Jaylen Brown could slide right back in. So as Mikhail asked this question, it is a little bit tricky because, like I said, and Adnan brought it up on my live stream when he commented, this best Celtics team involves both Gordon Hayward and Jaylen Brown in the starting lineup. We're thinking, oh, it's all gravy right now because they're winning. But in theory, you don't want Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward playing 20 minutes a game, you know?
And that absolutely makes sense, because Jaylen Brown is a much better player than he's looked this year. And obviously the confidence is through the roof, but his confidence has been better than his ability to play so far.
Yep.
And I don't know if he's just nervous with Gordon Hayward being on the court and maybe he feels like he's being pushed out of the equation, but he definitely belongs on this team and he needs to find that. And the Celtics need to help him find that role as well.
Right, so yeah, it's you know, to simply put, Marcus Smart's a starter for now. I love Marcus Smart in there. I think he makes these unbelievable plays. All three games, he's had a first quarter steal, a couple of them right in the first minute. But
that Timberwolves play was ridiculous.
Yeah, see, like that's the type of play Jaylen Brown's not making. And Jaylen Brown isn't a half bad defender. Like he's a good defender, but Marcus Smart is a defensive playmaker. And but again, you know, Marcus Smart has his cold streaks too. Marcus Smart actually isn't jacking shots like he did last year that drove everyone nuts. He's playing really well this year. You know, he's only shooting a few times a game, and honestly, he's kind of making them, at least as of starting. But, yeah, so that answers that question. Do I think Marcus Smart will keep the starting role? I do. I think it's Marcus Smart's spot to lose right now, but I think he can lose it if he starts playing bad or Jaylen Brown decides to be Jaylen Brown, you know? So So, yeah, that answers that question. We don't have to dive too much into the Celtics because they're not playing for another 4 days. So what are people caring about? This is
seems like ridiculous breaks.
Yeah, isn't they played like four in the last 6 days or something, and now it's like they don't play for a week. It's so weird.
Are you supposed to get in a groove? You got Gordon Hayward going 39-8. All of a sudden, he's just supposed to sit on ice for 6 days.
Yeah, let me before we end this pod, I'll shout that out. Gordon Hayward, what a stud! Because that wasn't even like his best performance. You know, he missed a couple dunks, missed a couple layups, yet he still dropped 30 freaking points, 9 rebounds and 8 assists, almost a triple double.
Yeah, that's got to get everyone really excited, the fans and his teammates.
For sure, for sure. Sean, I wanted to talk about our, and I talked about it before the in the intro of this podcast, but I wanted to talk about our Heart Boston t-shirt. So we launched, and we did another donation type thing earlier in the year with Soxphere. We did the Rem Dog, Team Rem Dog, in support of Jerry Remy. We donated that to cancer. We raised near $1,500. Sean, we're trying to do that again. We're trying to do even better this time. And this is the Heart Boston t-shirt. It's Boston with a heart. And, you know, the heartbeat monitor was Sean's idea. We put that in there on the heart of the first O. So it's Boston, but instead of that first O, it's a heart with a heartbeat monitor line going there. And it's a cool shirt. It's a very clean, simple shirt. And what are we doing with that, Sean? We're donating it to American Heart Association, the American Heart Association. It uses that money for research and to support families that are in need of people that you know, or that are in need after someone dies of heart failure or heart disease. And that's just a very, you know, I hold that close to my heart. Really, no pun intended there. And it's a great cause that we're doing. So if you haven't picked up that shirt, head over to guybostonsports.com/store, or you can just search in our search bar, Heart Boston t-shirt, anything like that. It's $20. Proceeds are going to the American Heart Association. I'll do a video like I did last time after we donate or once we donate. And so proceeds less obviously the cost of production for the shirts and shipping and whatnot. Proceeds will be going to the American Heart Association. Sean, I think that's all I have to say on that. Hopefully,
My brother has had about four heart surgeries, so he says I have to buy him one of these. So I'm going to do that.
There you go.
It's a great cause.
It is, and you know this is kind of being able to reflect on the fact that me, you, Kenny, and all the staff, we've all built Guy Boston up to a level that, you know, we can actually cause a little bit of a wave. You know, it might be a small wave in some people's eyes, but realistically, it is. It's a thing that we can reach hundreds of thousands of people, millions on social media, and, you know, hopefully we can make some sort of difference, big or small. So head over there, guybostonsports.com, pick up the shirt. Again, this isn't about the profit. This is about strictly donating and doing it in the giving time of year. That's why we're doing it at the end of the year. So pick it up. It's a perfect Christmas gift. And, you know, you also have that second gratification of knowing that your money's going to a good place.